Joining us, Rich Waltz. Of course, Rich is the former voice of the Miami Marlins, Florida Marlins, on the great TV Voice. You see him on ESPN all the time. And Rich, it's great to have you here. He's filled in for the Giants on the radio as well. And it's nice to have you here on this Sunday morning.
Hey, Marty, how are you? Happy Hall of Fame Day.
Yeah, we're here. And, you know, it's such an interesting time for Giants baseball over these next 10 days to see what's going to happen. And a lot really depends, crazily, on today's game and the Cub games and what comes up to July 31st. You've been through this many times with the Marlins and the rebuilding and all that kind of stuff. What do you see ahead for the Giants? What's on Farhan's radar here? What does he have to see?
Well, I do know this, that all of the radars of general managers and presidents of baseball operations in baseball have had to be recalibrated because of the hard deadline and the fact that you no longer can make the waiver trades, which were really salary-driven and economically difficult to do. But you could help your team in August, too, which gave you more time. And they don't have that time, and the Giants don't have that time of another 2 or 3 weeks to see if this run holds and if they can get a little bit closer to that wild card spot. So you're right about today's game and you're right about the next week. This is a really crucial week for everybody in baseball, all the executives, to figure out, is their team really in a position to go for it? Is their team in a position where they need to sell? You can do both, too. And I kind of think that the Giants will be in the middle. There may be a piece or two that they deem where they can get something back that will really help them in the future, and they may hold on to a piece or two that they think, you know what, if we keep this group somewhat together, they may keep playing the way they're playing. I think with Farhan especially, you go back and look at the blueprint and where he's been, and I heard you read the lineup a little while ago on the show, and it's filled with guys whose names, you, as a Giants fan, you probably didn't recognize at the start of the year, but he was really good at that at Oakland. I mean, underappreciated assets is what Moneyball was all about with Oakland. They didn't have the financial means that the Dodgers did when he was there, or even the Giants have right now. But you think about some of those A's teams and what they did. Look at the Dodgers, though. You know, obviously you look at the homegrown Dodgers, which has been incredible. The Dodgers have really drafted and developed a great core of players. But he's found guys off the junk heap or hidden gems, or however you want to call them. Justin Turner was released by the Orioles and the Mets before he became a Dodger. Max Muncy was released by the Athletics. Chris Taylor was a low-level draft, off-the-radar kind of guy. He did a really nice job of finding underappreciated assets, and I think he's done that in San Francisco. I mean, looking at Dickerson, Donovan Solano's been terrific. You've got Zach Greene in the lineup today at third base. He's done a really nice job of drafting, developing, and then adding those underappreciated assets. So I guess what I'm saying is, in these next 2 or 3 weeks, if there are deals made and there's names that you haven't heard of coming in the Giants' direction, and in the offseason, if there's free agents or guys that just, you know, all of a sudden become Giants, those could be the Cody Rosses and the Marco Scuderos and the Ryan Vogelsongs, because Ryan Sabian's group did a really nice job of that as well.
Talking to Rich Waltz, it's well said as far as it's now becoming or starting to look like a Farhan Zaidi roster or a lineup. But even with the rotating bottom three, four spots on the 25-man roster, switches guys up and down from AAA. I want to ask you about the playoff odds, because now Fangraphs does this thing where they show you the percentage chance to make the playoffs. And I don't know, maybe 2.5 weeks ago, Giants were at a 0.01% or a 0.1% chance of making the playoffs. Now you look at Fangraphs and they're up to a 4.9% chance. There's something to be said about the percentage chances, but there's also something to be said about passing the eye test. And over the last 2 weeks, the Giants have passed the eye test.
That's a great point, because what those playoff odds don't measure is, how's that team playing right now? You know, it's essentially looking at the record. I mean, if you look at the Giants right now and where they were and where they are and how they're playing, if they can keep, you know, maybe not winning it to this clip, but over 500 clip, there's enough time, there's enough games where if you're playing every week, if you're two games over 500, that adds up pretty quickly. So, you know, the playoff odds, I'm sure general managers look at that before they figure out what they want to do, trade this, that, and the other. But the eye test, is, as you pointed out, that's important. That's the heartbeat of the team. What's going on in the clubhouse? Look at across the bay. Look at what Oakland did last year in the second half. Look at what Oakland's doing right now in the second half. Look, I like the playoff odds and all of that, but you're 100% right. There's a component to it that's not included, and that's where the club is and what they're doing at the time.
I think the odds are ridiculous.
I think so too. The percentages
I think they're ridiculous.
Are weird.
Yeah. Who cares? I don't care what Fangraff said. We know baseball. You know how many games are left. What you're doing? How you're playing? What your pitching is? And let's see what happens. Let's see who takes over in September. Who has the guttiest team in September? So, well said, Rich. I agree with you on that. Absolutely. Hey, Hall of Fame Sunday. Quick thoughts on the Hall of Fame for you.
First thought is this. It's always frustrated me, and I've been in baseball since I got out of college, is they have the Hall of Fame ceremonies, which is an incredible show, an incredible ceremony. They have it on a Sunday in the day when everybody in baseball is working. Why don't they just have it on Sunday night? You know, cancel the Sunday night game. Have it on Monday afternoon. Have it on a day or a night where everybody in the game can watch. All right, that being said, for me personally, my first major league job was in Seattle doing Mariners pre and post on TV and then filling in on play-by-play on TV and radio. So I got to see Edgar Martinez from the very start to almost to the end. I left in 2004 just as he was really wrapping up his career. So to see him finally get in on his last year of eligibility is really cool. And in my time in Seattle, there were three guys that I wanted to get to the ballpark early to watch work. The first was Omar Vizquel. To watch him take ground balls and do his infield drills was jaw-dropping because he did things with the baseball that I'd never seen and still haven't seen. The other was Ichiro, to watch his batting practice because he would pump, 75% of the balls he'd pump not only out of the ballpark but into the second deck. And the third was Edgar Martinez. If Edgar were playing today, he would be a huge guy into everything. Drive line, launch angle, all that. He worked so hard and did so much. He was one of the first guys with ocular training, which was eye training. He used to take tennis balls and put a number on them and throw them in the jugs gun and shoot them about 130 miles an hour so he could try to read the number as it went by on the ball. He used to take batting practice. He'd be hitting the ball out of the park, in the gap, off the wall. And then you'd take a closer look, and he had the weight, the donut, on his bat while he was doing it. He was a guy that did a ton of strength with his swing, but he always, everything he did right-handed, he would stop, and then he would do everything he did, every rep, he would do it left-handed as well, because he didn't want to get one-sided and avoid injury that way. So I'm just thrilled that he gets a chance to get there, and it's well-deserved, and it's overdue.
Boy, great insight, Rich. That's the best insight I think we've had on Edgar Martinez. Very good. You got a game coming up, YouTube, Giants-Phillies. When is that?
Yeah, the Major League Baseball and MLB Network is diving in with YouTube to do an exclusive national game. There's 13 games after the All-Star break, and the Giants are involved in one of those. It's a Phillies game. I want to say it's the 8th of August. But I've got the Angels coming up next week, and then my next game would be the Dodgers and the Cardinals, and then I've got the Giants and the Phillies, which I think will be a fun game. Obviously, the Phillies are a really interesting story, and I have a feeling the Giants are going to keep playing well. And like I said at the outset of this, I think Farhan, I think the Giants are going to do a little bit of both. There may be an asset that they feel like they can part with to get something back, but I'd be really surprised if they blew the whole thing up. I think they... If someone really wows them on a guy, maybe. But I think the Giants are going to play well through July, and it'll be an interesting August and September.
All right, Rich, thanks so much, as always. We'll catch up with you again.
All right, guys, thank you.
Thanks, Rich.
All right, that's Rich Walz.